Frank, help Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's always amazing what the Lord does, how He makes His confirmations. So I'll just say that the message today is about prayer. Is that surprising? Yeah, sing a song. I wrote down here all the things either in words that people said or from words from the songs. Life doesn't always make sense, does it?
No.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Our prayer life, the message today is about our prayer life, and we really demonstrated a lot of of prayer and focus on prayer just in what people have been saying. Down to the river to pray was one of the things that was said, and we will be changed. You know, we're looking for things to happen. We want things to change in our lives or in other people's lives. And I'll tell you, it comes back to that relationship with the Lord, and that relationship is developed because of prayer. More than anything else, it's because of prayer, isn't it? Communicating with God. Here's the definition. Prayer is an earnest request to God. It's a spiritual communion with God. It's an intimate speaking to God, conversing with God, which means there's an interchange of ideas and thoughts, and you know you're going back and forth. You speak to God; God speaks to you. That develops relationship, and it's that development of relationship that gives us. That's when we're in His presence. That's where His presence and glory can do the change that needs to happen in us, right? Some other things. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our ears, and Jesus will be revealed. We're going to let Him in. Well, if we don't turn ourselves in His direction, and that comes a lot in prayer, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I just thought that the fear no more. I'll be talking about that toward the end of the message. Allowing things to get out of our hands and really give over into the hands of God. Boy, is that something for us. You know, something about an unknown future. Experiencing something in God that we haven't experienced before. That's going to be toward the end of the message. Steve mentioned something about, you know, even in places where you're in a Bible Belt, people can become lax, right? I'll tell you what, when you're in prayer, when I'm in prayer, there's no laxness there, is there? When you're truly praying to God, when you're truly seeking God, there is something It just can't be that way when you're really talking to God and you realize it and He's speaking back to you. Wow, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what got me in this direction to bring this message on prayer was a few days ago. I was by myself at the house, I think. Yeah, I was by myself at the house. Kathy was somewhere. And I went out to the living room and I got down on my knees. I was going to do something else. I thought, I have some time. I should pray. But then the other thought comes, oh no, no, you got some work to do outside. Or why don't you watch one of those videos on YouTube that you've wanted to you know. So you have these conflicting thoughts. And I said, no, you know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to make sure that I pray. And I got down on my knees and I was praying for some different things. And then the Lord started convicting me about something in my life. And I bawled my eyes out. I just cried and cried and cried. And asked God for help. And all these different things were going on. And right at the end of the prayer time, I heard the name Keturah. Now, that doesn't just pop into my mind. I've read it. It's in the scripture. This was Abraham's wife after Sarah died. All right? But the word Keturah came into my mind, and I thought, well, that's really weird. So I got up, and I thought, I'm gonna see what that word, what that name means. And what it meant is incense. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. Or 141. Psalm 141. Because this is something of... I want to describe to you what prayer is and why we really should be doing as much of this, as more of this as we possibly can. Somebody had said there's always something to pray for, isn't there? There's never an end to our need to pray, right? So go to Psalm 141 just for a minute. And if you're there, you're ahead of me. Okay. Psalm 141, verse 2 says this: let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So here the scripture correlates the incense that goes up to God as what happens with prayer. And if you know, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 5:8, it talks about how these censers, these vials, sometimes they're these big, deep spoons that the Jews had, and they would put incense into the censer, and then they would burn it, and then the smoke would come up, and that's what Keturah means: incense, sweet smelling smoke, right? And where there's smoke, there's fire. There has to be some kind of fire that gets things started, right? In Revelation 5:8, it says that these censers were full of sweet aroma, which were the prayers of the saints. So our prayers, think about this for a minute. Our prayers are a really sweet aroma. It's like incense to God. God is pleased when we're praying. It's like walking upstairs in my house and Kathy has just finished cooking some bacon. Boy, I love the smell of bacon. Bacon by itself, smell it in the package, yuck. But boy, put the fire to it. Huh? Or, perfumes or anything else that produces a good smell. You think about the smells that you really like, and to God, prayer is a sweet smell. It's a wonderful, fantastic aroma in God's face. Isn't that something? And you know, and I thought about this, and I thought, wow, you know, that motivates me. I mean, I think all of us here want to please God. Don't we say that all the time? I just want to please you, God. Well, here's one. You know how to talk with him. Talk to him. Communicate. And we do that, you know. Do you want to? Oh. Am I? All right.
I wasn't sure.
So one thing about prayer is that it's sweet smelling to God. God loves this. Yeah, he loves that, you know, and he looks forward to that because it's us making connection with him. And that connection is what's going to give us the strength through situations. It's that connection with him where when we just feel so beaten down and we need that reassurance. When we feel hopelessness, we get hope. Isn't that what happens? Right?
Yes.
And you know, these thoughts that come from the enemy to say, you know, well, stop praying or whatever, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from the enemy. We recognize it. We're learning to be this house of prayer. And this is my second point. Let me see here. You know, prayer is supposed to be an integral part of our life. Integral. Right at the core. We should be, this is where we should fall to. That should be our default way of being. It shouldn't just be a nod to prayer or think, well, I've prayed enough today. Right? You understand? There's always a need. And I think God is doing this. And Reggie was saying, you know, that there's something out here ahead of us that we don't even understand. We've never seen before. We don't know all the things that are going to happen here in times ahead. We don't know what situation or tragedy or anything else that can be out there in front of us, how we can handle that, let alone the real big earth-shattering things of the end of the age. And let's forget about the end of the age right now. Let's just talk about having that readiness, that solidity, being on a rock because we've prayed and prayed about things, right? And we've got it isn't the prayer itself that's so important. It's the relationship with God, the trust in God, the ability to wrap our arms around the Lord in a deeper and more wonderful way than we've ever experienced before. That is going to give us what we need. It's going to be Him, isn't it? It's His life in us, ministering to us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
So this is where this ends up going, and this is why it needs to be an integral part of us.
I'll just give you some scripture references. You don't have to turn to it. Isaiah 56:7 says that the Lord's house is to be a house of prayer. Jesus echoes this in the Gospels, that my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. That means it's signified by a group of people, individually and as a group, that do a lot of praying. And it's that communicating. You know? There's an attitude of prayer that we develop. Lots of times we pray because something's happened and we want God to intervene and make things good again so we can be more comfortable about life, right? We want an attitude of prayer. An attitude that I want to always be talking to God.
Yeah.
Even when I'm doing my teaching at the college or I'm working outside doing some things, that I have an attitude of heart that's always making a connection with God, even if it's in the background. Thank you, God, that I have this to do and, you know, be with me and help me, and I got to concentrate, I know, but God, I just soak you up as I'm doing this and show me something as I'm working through these different things. He does that, doesn't he? It's an attitude. It's an attitude of prayer. Amen. Colossians 4:2 says that we're supposed to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. Continue. Keep it up. Ephesians 6:18 says that we're supposed to always be praying. Well, that seems pretty hard to do. But again, I think it's talking about our attitude. It's an attitude of prayer.
Yes.
An attitude of wanting to stay communicated with God.
Yes.
Somehow that can be something we could grab a hold of. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And lots of what was said this morning already has been this thing about, well, we prayed for this and we're praying for all these different things. We had a long section there where we were getting prayers, joys and concerns, and it was things so that we could be together with that person seeking God for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's an important thing that a church does. And it develops our love for one another. It develops a trust and love in God and seeing Him come through in different situations. Amen?
Yes.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James 5. You know, our prayers can be supplications, begging God for things, asking God for things, just talking with Him, asking Him questions. God, should I apply for that job? Or, you know, there's all this prayer that's involved, and there's all different ways that prayer can be. And I just thought this was an interesting thing. I wanted to say this. In James 5, verse 15 says this: "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Okay? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, you know, there's prayers that are initiated from us to God. Isn't that right? A prayer of faith is something where God has spoken to us first, and then we pray for what He said. You get that? Because a prayer of faith means faith comes by what?
Hearing.
So we've heard something from God. Pray for this. Pray for that person's particular sickness. And it's coming from God, not from our own mind. It's not initiating from us. It's coming from God. We hear God speak something to us. And then that becomes a prayer of faith because we heard what God has said. And now we're being obedient to do it. That's a prayer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little different than us supplicating and pleading. Oh, please, you know, heal somebody from such and such. That's coming from our own hearts. But there's a tremendous promise where it's a prayer of faith. It's coming from God. We're getting it from God first. Isn't that something? So that's really, I just thought that was really pretty cool. And then since we're there in James 5, another type of prayer It says this, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, what's the word fervent mean?
Strong, intense.
It's intense, isn't it? Something that's fervent has something to do with heat, doesn't it? Hot for something, yet you're totally involved. Usually there's some kind of emotion that gets involved with when you're wrapped up in something, right? So a fervent prayer is something that's intense. It doesn't mean that a person's yelling or going crazy. It just means that deep inside, there's something at the core of someone that's coming out in the prayer, right?
Yes.
Now, what about effectual? What's that, what would that be dealing with? The effectual fervent prayer avails much. Well, to me, what are you going to say?
Well, it's success based on a cause, I guess.
Yeah, meaningful. The word that came to me was there's something of meaning to it. You know, we can be very casual with prayers a lot of times. Bless Kathy with a good day today. Effectual. When we pray in a general kind of sense for somebody, it doesn't have as much effect as when we stay before the Lord enough to get some details. You know? You understand that? Oh, bless Kathy today when she goes to work. Well, how about bless Kathy today, Lord, that she has wisdom to be able to meet the needs of a particular student whose name comes to my mind. That is more effectual than just a general, oh, bless her today at work. That's an effectual prayer. Something that has detail to it. Something that isn't just to get the prayer out of the way and go on to something else. Effectual prayer is you're going to hover with the Lord in that communication with the Lord so that you're allowing Him to speak to you and to sense and to get from God what needs to be said. Right? That's an effectual prayer. And, of course, you know, when you have a deeper connection with one person than another, it's a little more easy for there to be a fervency, you know, with people that are in your family or in your church family. The fervency for maybe somebody that you don't know, but if there's something going on in the world, and the Scripture does say we're supposed to pray for all men. Not just our family, not just the church. We're supposed to pray for all people, aren't we? So if God brings things to our minds, we read something in the newspaper about an accident, or you hear the ambulances going up the road, and lots of times, you know, oh God, please protect anybody that might be in an accident right now, and there's prayer for just anybody. Right, and maybe what could be happening in the world could give you enough fervency, but an effectual fervent prayer avails much. That means it has impact. And there's one thing about prayer, besides the fact that it is really pleasing to God because we're talking to Him and developing a relationship. Does have impact, and I know that this church knows that prayers work.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes.
And so we've got to be people that remember that. Because numbers of people have said, you know, the enemy's always there to try to distract us or to get us to not have enough faith for something. And happens to me all the time, you know. Or, well, yeah, work, that prayer worked before, but is it going to work this time? That kind of stuff. The enemy can always do that to us. And this is where he works us the most, is to keep us away from prayer, because prayer has effectual power. There is power in prayer. And I think God wants to remind us today to be a house of prayer. I think we do this fairly well, but I want to say this to all of us, to myself. There's room to grow here.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there?
Big time.
Lots of room to grow.
Yes.
So, throwing this out at you, you know, let me see. I'm going to end up jumping ahead if I do that. I think God does want this church to grow in this, in our prayer life.
Yes.
And that's why he gave this message. Right. He wants us to grow. And he's already confirmed that, hasn't he?
Yes.
Just, you know, the song about prayer and all that, and the words in these other songs. Maybe God's saying something, and maybe I got to do something about that instead of just hearing it and walking out the door and forgetting about it, right? God wants us to do something about this. To increase, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. How do we increase our faith? You know how we increase our faith? We have to connect with God more. That's prayer. That's talking to Him more. Yeah, right?
Okay. Yes.
I was just reminded that oftentimes I would go to, I would think of a problem and then think about how I could solve it and have my mind whirling all around, you know, what can I do to solve this problem? How can I control this situation? Whatever.
Yeah.
And just bringing it to the Lord instead of going in that whirlpool, you know, is prayer.
Yes.
You know, bringing it to Him instead of bringing it to myself and how I can solve the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that helps to make it a constant in your life, because you're not thinking necessarily about how you can solve it, but how God can solve this.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, to me, that's the constancy of prayer in your life.
Yeah.
Is how, what is God going, doing in the situation?
Yeah. Really giving it to God. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like Jim was saying, you know, we give something to God and then we take it back.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a process. Life is a process. Godliness, holiness, our prayer life is a process. And God's not looking down on us where we're not where we could be or maybe even should be at this point in our lives. He's there to encourage us through this message, through your reaching out to God to make things better. He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Doesn't he? And so we need these encouragements. I had 3 points here, and the final point about prayer is that it produces prudence, wisdom. It also produces power. If you're connected, some kind of a music player and I needed to plug it into the socket, well, if I don't plug it in, it's not going to turn on, is it? And it's important for power to be plugged into the right source, truly, in a true sense of the word. So I want to talk here about this. 1 Corinthians 1:24, for those of you that are taking notes on this, it says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And boy, I'll tell you, we need power and we need wisdom.
Right.
Yeah.
More so and more so as time goes along here.
Let's all of us here turn to Ephesians chapter 1.
So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 says this: wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wow. All wisdom and practical understanding. That's what prudence deals with. We abound in that. So why is this happening? Because we're not plugged in all the time, are we?
Right.
It takes prayer. It takes that real connection where, you know, lots of times we plug in because we want a certain response back. Right?
Yeah.
Well, this is happening in my life, so now I'm going to pray and God now come through for me.
Yeah.
You know? When it's not that exact thing. Our attitude, the way we approach prayer should be, I want to know God. I really do want to know God. And I want to know how to trust Him through every situation of life so that I can have the strength that I need. Right? So that I have the wisdom I need. And in certain places, so that I can have the power I need. The power to turn away from temptation at times. The power to have the right character response in particular situations. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let alone healings or other things, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm coming up to how I want to conclude this. And, you know, if you want something, that's the start of getting it. You have to then ask God for it, right? I want to get to this thing because power comes from Jesus Himself, and power comes because of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, and that's what I want to talk about here, and hopefully this will work out the way I want it to. God has provided. We have the ability to abound in all prudence and wisdom and power, right? We don't always see that happen. And so we want to have as much of that as possible. How many of you would like to move in a greater wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, all of you would, right?
Yes.
How many of you and me are afraid of the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody that's afraid of the Holy Spirit because of what He might ask you to do?
That's it. Not really scared of the Holy Spirit.
No. How He might direct us in our life.
I mean, that's a different thing.
That's a little different, yeah. I should have said it that way.
Some of us feel that we're not worthy of the Holy Spirit. So that makes you afraid because you're not sure if it's going to get poured out on you, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to realize there's, in this room right here, there's not one of us that's worthy for anything. We are not worthy. None of us are worthy.
Yeah.
The only thing that gives us the ability to be worthy in the eyes of God is the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
We're covered by His blood.
Yes. Yeah.
Our righteousness is not our own righteousness, it's His righteousness.
Yes.
It's what He put has is able to develop in us as we stumble through this life and ask God for help in turning from those bad things. Yeah. It's His righteousness, not ours, right? So,
I think that we might have our own ideas of what we want out of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Are you still
with me here?
Yeah.
Your minds aren't starting to wander yet, right?
No.
I got you for maybe 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
How about 15? 5?
All right. So, Acts chapter 8. Well, you do what you can, you know? Acts chapter 8.
Alright, so I guess I'm going to start in verse 14. And it says this, Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He was not fallen upon any of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here were people that came to Christ, they were water baptized, but the Spirit hadn't fallen on them. Which means so immersed, that they and the Spirit were so immersed in one another. That hadn't happened yet to those people. And so what did the two apostles do? They prayed that they might have the Holy Spirit fully immersed in on those believers. Right? So you can be a believer and not have a full immersion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you, but there's something that I want to make sure that we understand. So it goes on here, and so I want to do this right now. And then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, this other, not Peter, but this other guy, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that when I lay hands on," and so on, it goes on. What did he see?
Power of change.
he saw something. So there was a what we call a manifestation of the Spirit. Otherwise you wouldn't know. There has to be some kind of outward recognition. Something has happened that the apostles and Simon and anybody around saw that something happened to these people. That they did indeed receive the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. So I wonder what that is. You know where we're going to find that out?
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is very obvious
that the Spirit, and this is through prayer, that the Spirit manifested itself, made itself known, was able to be seen in some kind of action. Right? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Oh, the manifestation of the Spirit. So here are ways that Simon or anybody that was at that place at that time might have seen any one of these manifestations that we're going to read about. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. Another, a word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. These are manifestations of the Spirit. Obviously, some of these, maybe all of these, in different people were going on that became very obvious to the people that were there. Wow. So, and you know what that, requires of us? Not to be afraid. When the Lord moves on us, not to be afraid to speak. Not to be afraid if you sense this manifestation of, you know, I'm going to lay hands on that person, I'm going to bless them, that they might receive a healing and so on. Now, the problem with these things is that they can be duplicated. They can be done in the flesh. I've been in many churches where people stand up and they think that they're prophesying, and there's not one bit of anointing on them whatsoever. Right? There are people that will lay hands on people and pray for healing, and there's nothing that's going on. Right? So this is what turns a lot of people off from this deeper, more powerful expression, manifestation of the Spirit. Is we have to want God to give us what we're supposed to walk in. We need to want that. And if we say, oh, I don't need tongues, I don't need to this or that. I only want this, or I only want that. We don't get to do that choosing. We, hopefully, every single person in here is willing that if God wants to shower you in any one of the manifestations of the Spirit, you're willing to do that because you want to do His will. Is that right?
Yes.
And not to be afraid about that. And to be very, and this is really important, but to be very careful that you're hearing from God. We need the right kind of balance. Otherwise, you know, you can get into all kinds of crazy Pentecostal stuff. And that's not, I'm not downing Pentecostalism, because you know they're open to the Spirit, and they can be fooled if they're not disciplined in prayer enough to know what's of God and what isn't. But we don't want to be on the other end that closes God off because we're afraid of what the Holy Spirit would do through us.
Amen.
I want the right balance. I don't want to be on either end of that. I want what God has for this congregation, for you as an individual. We're only going to grow as we open our hearts more and more to God. But it's going to require that investment of prayer, so we know what way to go in. So God confirms to us what are our gifts. And that if God wants to do something in one particular instance, one particular time where He's calling you to heal somebody, but you don't have the gift of healing, but you can move in the manifestation of healing in that regard, you can do that. You know, there's the manifestation of the Spirit. I want to be open to all the manifestations of the Spirit. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a manifestation of speaking in tongues where this is you praying to God, where you have given out everything that you can think of to pray for a particular situation, but there's still that yearning to pray for more for a person. But you don't, you're out of words.
Yeah.
And God gives you a tongue to speak. But if we have prejudices against that because of junk that we've seen before, and God wants to move through you, then it's important that we're all open to one another, right? I hope you see that. But it's a different thing if it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, where it's something where you're going to speak out loud to a whole congregation. That's a whole different story. And 1 Corinthians 14 sets all that up for you. But every single person in here has the ability, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, to ask God, God, please give me that. I'm not just focusing on tongues. I'm talking about anything. But God, I want to be more open to the power of your Spirit, to the manifestation of your Spirit in me and through me to minister to the rest of the congregation or to anybody else. Do you think that, you know, see, this is unknown. This can be scary. Well, what if it gets so out of hand? And what if this happens? And what if I make a mistake? Right? We don't like making mistakes in front of people. So, you know, that holds us back from having a much greater synergy of the Spirit of God moving in you as an individual, and also as with us as a whole group. I really believe this is a message for every single individual in here to be more open to the leading and power and manifestation of the Spirit in your life. Mm-hmm. More than what it's been. This is not being critical. I'm just saying there's a lot more. There's a lot more for us. A lot more for you as an individual. A lot more for us as a church. How we can minister. The more we're a praying church, our prayer life needs to increase. And with that, there's going to be the power and manifestation of the Spirit because we're connected with Him more. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Now we'll see. You know, we'll see what's going to happen. But I really do believe that God wants to open up these doors. And maybe it's a little scary. The unknown can be scary. A place where we haven't been before can be scary. We can gingerly walk through this together. Okay? Yeah.
I think sometimes we hear messages like this and we don't do any action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it said that we have to pray to be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
So can we take a minute to do that? Because there has to be an action, right? You have to you have to commit to something, right? And so if like the elders and maybe the deacons get up there and we can just have people come up.
Yeah.
If they feel like they want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, just to come up and pray over that, to ask for that.
Yeah.
Because it says to do that.
Yes, it does.
So that's what we gotta do.
Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, I have to wait there. Lay on hands, ask for a greater power, a greater prayer life, a greater manifestation of the Spirit. Would anybody not want that? I mean, you don't have to come up, but this was exactly what I felt we should do, is to act upon this. And so we'll have the elders and deacons come up, and then if any of you that want to come up and just have through a prayer that you be blessed in this message.
No.
Right? And then I would like people to lay hands on us too, so that all of us are receiving from the Lord. Amen? Somebody? Yeah.